Hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it's full, they haul it ashore, sit down to put what is good into buckets, what is bad they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go up, out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." Do you understand all these things? They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the old and the new." When Jesus finished these parables, he went away from there. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we have the 7th and the 8th parables in the 13th chapter of St. Matthew. We pray on these Thursdays in the third luminous mystery about the kingdom of God and the call to conversion. And all of Jesus' parables about the kingdom are meant to bring us to conversion, bring us to literally turn with him in his kingdom, living as he lives, putting into practice what he himself already puts into practice about this kingdom. So that's why we always have to listen to all the parables with that interpretive key. He preaches in parables precisely to force us to do the work to understand them, so that through that whole process of work, we might come to enflesh them. First of the two parables today is about the dragnet thrown into the sea, catching fish of every kind. It says both good and bad fish. In the original Greek, it was beautiful and rotten fish. Just like the parable of the weeds and the wheat, there's always going to be both good and bad. God first has a universal will to save. He wants to save everybody. But on the other hand, not all will be saved, because we've got human freedom, that capacity to be able to refuse the gift of God. And so that's what this parable is about. That's what the parable of the weeds and the wheat are about. That's what the parable of the banquet of the kingdom in St. Luke's gospel is all about, in which they compel everybody to come in, but some by choice are improperly dressed because they don't allow the royal tailor to vest them. Same principle that Jesus gives in his dialogue with the centurion before he would heal his loved one, that he said to those who were objecting, "Many will come from the east and the west to dine with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But some of the own children will be cast outside where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth." God came to save all, but some don't choose to receive that gift. Probably the most memorable of all is Jesus' image about the Last Judgment, where he will separate all those who have died into two groups like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. God wills to save everybody. He has come into the world to save 100 out of 100. But at the same time, if people refuse to hear the Good Shepherd, to follow the Good Shepherd, to allow the Good Shepherd to carry them away from the wolves, then God has made us in his image with freedom. And like the fallen angels, we can choose against God, against ourselves, and against others. That might seem like a depressing message. It's actually something that points to the essence of our humanity. But even if, up until now, we haven't been pleased with the choices that we've made in particular, God gives us a great consolation in the first reading through the prophet Jeremiah, when he sends him in one of these prophetic oaths, these teaching gestures, to the potter's house. And he saw that if it wasn't coming out right the first time, with that same clay, the potter would refashion it into something truly beautiful and useful. And we are like that clay in the hand of God the Master Potter. He's formed us in the beginning, but to the sense that to the extent that we've been broken in some way, God wants to reform us, wants so that we might be able to conform totally to Him. And God's constantly spinning us on that potter's wheel. We might not need a total reconstruction. We just might need a little repair in this place or that. But God's constantly at work. And that's why we're filled with hope. Today the church celebrates for the third time here in the U.S. the Feast of Blessed Silanus Casey. What an extraordinary gift he is, because he is someone who became an incredible dragnet, bringing others into the church, bringing people more and more to the Master Potter so that he would be able to reform. He was like that spinning wheel that the Master Potter needs. So many would be too intimidated to go to others, were not intimidated to go to him. Bernard Casey grew up in a very hard-working Irish family in Wisconsin, worked several jobs when he was a teenager, but never gave up that sense that God was calling him to be a priest. And when he was 21, he entered with the 14-year-olds in the high school seminary. Tomorrow we'll celebrate the Feast of St. Ignatius, who at an even later age went with the second graders in order to be able to pursue his priestly vocation. Silanus was bright, but he struggled to learn German. There's a big club of people who would struggle to learn German, especially Irish people. And so they thought that he wouldn't be intelligent enough to preach or to hear confessions. What a dumb decision. But nevertheless, rather than complain, Blessed Silanus just accepted it and did whatever he could wherever he was. And just like St. André Bessette of St. Joseph's Oratory in Montreal, Blessed Silanus became an incredible saint and a sanctifier of others through answering the door. Do you realize, Sister Mary Catherine, every time you answer the door in the morning, that there's sanctity involved there? Sanctity. Through answering the door, through welcoming everybody, as if you were welcoming Christ, to listening to their stories, to helping them with their particular problems. The special care that he gave when he answered the door and somebody was poor and needy. The care that he showed in making sure that they got enough to eat or they met the person that they needed. The cheerfulness with which he did it all. And the gratitude. He's a person filled with gratitude when he would say to everybody else, thank God ahead of time. He wasn't telling them to do something he himself didn't do. But his life was a continuous Eucharist of thanksgiving to the Lord. Before the Lord would even send him his gifts, all those people who would come and knock. It's important for us here in New York that we celebrate Blessed Silanus in a particular way, because he spent so much of his religious life here in the city. He's in a convent in Yonkers, convent in Harlem, convent in the East Village of Manhattan, convent in Brooklyn. He was likewise in Huntington, Indiana, and for his most famous years in downtown Detroit. But the Lord was sanctifying him here, and he was leaving a mark on the city. Church exists, as we were able to mark yesterday with St. Martha, for hospitality, to receive others as we wish to receive Christ. And we need saints like Silanus to help us to recognize that answering the door well is a great path of sanctity. Mopping the floor is a great possibility of sanctity. Cooking in the kitchen, cleaning the bathroom, cleaning up after others. All of these can make us follow in Blessed Silanus' footsteps. The great place where we come to grow in the eighth parable is here at Mass. When Jesus asks, "Do you understand all these things?" and they replied, "Yes." Jesus was asking in Greek, "Can you put all of these things together?" That's what it means. Can you see the connection between all of these things? It's all the same message. The Lord is calling us to conversion. And once we do, then he says, we'll be like that scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven, who's like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the old and the new. In the immediate context, that means someone who's able to bring the treasury of the Old Testament incorporated with what Jesus was saying live. But what it also means is that we don't have to let go of anything really good that the Lord has blessed us with before. He wants that to be brought from the storeroom into the present, as he blesses us with so much more. Nothing's wasted. We don't lose our life. It's all fulfilled. As Blessed Silanus was able to fulfill his priestly and religious vocation, even though he wasn't able to do ordinarily some of the things that every priest looks forward to. And he was sanctified at the Mass. This is where the Lord in sacred scripture brings forth for us the old and the new. This is where we go before that master potter, as he reshapes us from the inside, as we begin literally to spin with Christ, to convert. And this is from where he sends us out as fishers of men to throw that dragnet, to bring all in. And with the graces given to Blessed Silanus, to try to convert every fish into a truly beautiful one. What is a beautiful fish? The ancient fishermen weren't going out to collect fish for aquaria. They were catching fish to eat. Beautiful fish was a fish fit to eat. And that's why they always used the acrostic of a fish, ichthus in Greek, to refer it to Jesus. Because those letters in the ichthus, as you probably know in Greek, can be spelled out to mean Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And as we come to eat the most beautiful fish of all, he sends us out with his nets and with his own holiness within, so that we can be his instruments to make others recognize how beautiful they are in his eyes through creation, and how beautiful he calls them to be through a moral revolution. Praise be Jesus Christ.